Hey, we're going to 1 Kings chapter 20, and I want to jump into this. 1 Kings chapter number 20 with you today in a message titled, Who's in Your Chariot? 1 Kings chapter number 20. I'm speaking from a historical book in the Bible, and it's a story that is not too familiar to everyone. So I'm going to spend a little time walking through it by bouncing through a few verses and really feel the need to do that, to lay the foundation. And then once I've done that, I will then pull it together and I'll give you a few points, and I assure you, you'll be out by two. So let's pray. Father, thanks. Thanks for your word. Thanks for the opportunity to grow through it. Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We've all tried to walk in the dark when we don't know where we are. I'm grateful as children of God, we don't need to do that. You show us the way. You light the path. So I pray that as we spend some time in your word this morning, that you would illuminate the path before us so that we will know the way. We will know how to live for you. Direct us, we pray, in the strong name of Jesus. Church, would you pray with me, Father?
Father,
here am I.
Speak to my heart
through the preaching of your word. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Just before I read, my son Zachary, when he's about 16 years old, comes to me and my wife one day, and he says, Dad, my friend is having a cookout at their house. Can I go to it? And I say, well, who is your friend? And he said a name that was a name that I didn't know. He said, well, you don't know them, but it's just at their family's house, and they're having like a barbecue, and can I go to that? And I say, who is this person's family? And he says, well, you know, this is the mom and the dad, and he's like, come on, Dad, it's on Saturday, it's in the afternoon, I just want to know if I can go over there and hang out. I said, well, who else is going to be there? He said, well, there's some other kids from school that are coming and things. Well, what other kids from school? What are their names? What are the other names of the people who are going to be there? What are the moms and dads with me? I want to know who you're going to be with. I want to know who's going to be there before I say, yes, it's fine. Who are you going to be with? And in this conversation, my son says to me, Dad, it's like you don't even trust me. I said, I trust you completely. I don't trust any of those other people. I said, I don't even know who they are. How can I trust people I don't even know? So I was like, no, I want to know who, what time, where, the details. I want to meet mom and dad, and then we'll talk about whether you're going to be there or not. Because who's with you? It makes a big difference. Who's around makes a big difference because it influences us. And there's an individual who makes an encounter with someone in our text today that was not a wise one. It picks up here in 1 Kings chapter number 20, and I'm going to walk through a bunch of verses as we lay the groundwork before we get to some key points here. But to begin reading with you, 1 Kings chapter number 20, verse number 1 says this. Now Ben-Hadad, king of Aram, mustered his entire army. To set the scene, he's the enemy. Accompanied by 32 kings with their horses and chariots. Now this is no small army. Now a kingdom at this time would often be a city kingdom. Don't think necessarily of a nation of the size of today, but it's still a kingdom. 32 different kings have joined with him with their armies along with his. This is a massive army headed out to battle. And after he gets them together, he went up and besieged Samaria and attacked it. He sent messengers into the city to Ahab, king of Israel, saying, this is what Ben-Hadad says, your silver and gold are mine, and the best of your wives and children are mine. The king of Israel answered, just as you say, my lord the king, I and all I have are yours. Where are the wives in the room? Who's married? Don't you want this guy to be your husband, right? Yeah. Give me your silver and your gold. I want the best wives. Maybe he thought that didn't include his wife and he was okay. He thought it was other ones in the kingdom. I don't know. The best wives and your children, give them to me. So they've come in to besiege them. They've surrounded them. The army is massive, way bigger than his army. This is what I want. What's the king's response? It's yours. Just trying to save his own neck. You can have it. You can have it. Just leave us alone. Go your own way. I give it all to you. So then we keep going. We're going to jump. I'm going to pick up at verse number 5. The messengers came again. So they came once. They asked for this. He let them have it. Now they're back. The messengers came again and said, this is what Ben-Hadad says. I sent to demand your silver and gold, your wives and your children. But about this time tomorrow, I am going to send my officials to search your palace and the houses of your officials. They will seize everything you value and carry it away. So now he didn't just come for the money and the wife and the kids. He's come back for the coffee maker. He's come back for the microwave. He's come back for everything. He's taken it all. Everything you value. I was in a meeting one time and we were asked, if you could be stranded on an island and you can only have one thing with you and it can't be a person, what will you pick? I said, well, that would be my Keurig, my coffee maker. I have to have that with me. You'll discover I like coffee. So we're taking everything, he says, everything you value. The king of Israel summoned all the elders of the land and said to them, see how this man is looking for trouble. Man, he was already looking for trouble. When he sent for my wives and my children, my silver and my gold, I did not refuse him. The elders and the people all answered, don't listen to him or agree to his demand. So, we've got the scene. He shows up with his 32 kings, all their army. Israel's army is small by comparison. Give us the wives, the kids, the silver, the gold. You got it. Come back. Give us everything. No deal. It's too much. We're going to fight you. Well, you outnumber us, but we're going to fight you at this stage of the game. You can't have it all. So that's where we're at. So we're going to pick up again as we get to verse number 13. Meanwhile, a prophet came to Ahab, king of Israel, and announced, this is what the Lord says. Do you see this vast army? I will give it into your hand today, and then you will know that I am the Lord. What's God's plan? Victory for his children. I want you to catch that during the text. God's plan is he's ready to fight. The man of God has come. You're going to go. You're going to do battle. You're going to be victorious. He responds to that by going out to fight. And when they do fight, they win. Israel wins a mighty victory. And they whoop up on this army and they send them all fleeing. And off they go to the hills running, even though they were outnumbered. And after that battle is over, though, here's what happens. Afterward, the prophet came to the king of Israel and said, this is after that battle, strengthen your position and see what must be done, because next spring the king of Aram will attack you again. So this is going to be his third time, right? He came once, he took stuff, he came back, no, you can't have it, we'll fight you. They fought him, he fled. But the prophet comes saying, hey, he's coming back next year. He's coming back. It's what bullies do. He's coming back. He's going to regroup. He's going to come back and get you. So you're going to have to be ready for when he comes to fight you again. So then let's keep reading here. That's exactly what happens. This is the next spring. For 7 days they camped opposite each other. And on the seventh day the battle was joined. The Israelites inflicted 100,000 casualties on the Aramean foot soldiers in one day. So they have devastated this army. The rest of them escaped to the city of Aphek, where the wall collapsed on 27,000 of them. And Ben-Hadad, remember, he's the lousy guy who came from the beginning. He's the enemy. Ben-Hadad fled to the city and hid in an inner room. His officials said to him, look, we've heard the kings of Israel are merciful. Let us go to the king of Israel with sackcloth around our waist and ropes around our heads. Perhaps he will spare your life. Wearing sackcloth around their waist and ropes around their heads, they went to the king of Israel and said, your servant Ben-Hadad says, please let me live. Now, we already know what he's done. Please let me live. The king answered, is he still alive? He is my brother. The men took this as a good sign and were quick to pick up his word. Yes, your brother Ben-Hadad, they said. Go and get him, the king said. When Ben-Hadad came out, Ahab had him come up into his chariot. Now this is Ben-Hadad talking. I will return the cities my father took from your father, Ben-Hadad offered. You may set up your market areas in Damascus as my father did in Samaria. Ahab said, on the basis of a treaty, I will set you free. So he sent and made a treaty with him and let him go. Let me back up a verse there. This is Ben-Hadad talking. I will return the cities my... Do you realize what's happening right here? Ahab just won a battle where he is so victorious. The other army is completely decimated. There is nothing left to them. The king is in hiding. When he comes out and gets in the chariot with Ahab, who lays out the terms for the treaty? The guy who lost. The guy who lost is calling all the shots. The guy who was defeated is saying, all right, I'm going to give this to you and this to you, and you can do this. And Ahab's down there, okay. All right, yeah, that sounds good. We'll do it that way. Yes. And just goes, this is, you're at school, and the school bully comes out to you. I'm trying to look for somebody who just looks like they were probably the school bully. It was probably you, because I picked you last Sunday. I picked you last Sunday. Your birthday was in January. I remember that. All right, let's use you again. Tell me your name.
Gene.
John? Yeah. Okay, yep. Yeah. Stand up if you would. Yes, so. He's a bully in English and in French. I can already tell. Yes. So step out here. Step out here. This is, we're at school. Who's the bully? Is he the bully or me? You guys can pick. Me. You must be a nice guy. They don't want to pick you.
I am.
You are? Okay. So I come to school. I'm the bully, and I tell him, "Give me a dollar." And the first time I ask for a dollar, what's Gene's response? What's John's response?
Yeah.
Okay. You get. So he gives me a dollar. But then as I'm walking away, I think, that was pretty easy. You know what? I changed my mind. I want all your money. I want your shoes and your shirt. Because that's what he does. He comes back and says, I want everything. Now, what does Gene say? No, we're going to fight. So he and I are going to fight, right? Now, in this scenario, I'm the bully. Now, in real life, obviously, I could take him, all right? So come on, let's fight. Let's see what you got, Gene. Come on. So we're going to fight. We're going to fight, but he doesn't just win. He beats me down. He beats me down to where he stomps on me. He kicks me. I'm bloody. I'm on the ground. There's nothing left. And from the ground, beat up, I lift my head and say, just give me the shoes and all your money and we'll call it even. And he says, okay. You can sit down. Okay. What do you mean, okay? Oh, you're the one who won the battle. You won the fight. And yet you're allowing him to negotiate the terms of the treaty when he's the defeated foe. Ahab says it there. On the basis of a treaty, I will set you free. He's letting him go. How many times has he come? He came once. He came back. He came back the next spring. I'll let you go. You know what? You seem like a trustworthy character. I'll let you go. And off he goes. I want to jump ahead in the text. We're jumping a full two chapters ahead to chapter number 22. For 3 years, there was no war between Aram and Israel. Remember, they had made the treaty. But in the third year, this is chapter 22, verse 2, Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, went down to see the king of Israel. The king of Israel had said to his officials, don't you know that Ramoth-Gilead belongs to us, and yet we are doing nothing to retake it from the king of Aram? That's one of the cities that he had said he was going to give back in the treaty. When he said, I'll give the cities back my father took from you, you can set up your money. When he's striking the deals, this is one of the things he said he would give back. How much later is it?
3 years.
Does he have the city back? No. No. He didn't do anything he said. He's a liar. Of course he's a liar. He's the bully. He's the bad guy. He's the liar. You can't trust him. And here he is now, 3 years later, and says, that city belongs to us, and we're doing nothing to retake it. You shouldn't have. You already did everything you needed to do to retake it. He was supposed to give it back to you. So he asked Jehoshaphat, will you go with me to fight against Ramoth-Gilead? Jehoshaphat replied to the king of Israel, I am as you are. My people are your people. My horses as your horses. So now, he's headed out to fight this guy again. Same guy, to get the same city back that he was supposed to have had before. They're going to go down and do battle. So we're going to jump. But something happens, and I'm not going to read through the whole thing right here. The man of God comes back. He comes back to Ahab and says, this time you're going to lose. This time you're going to lose the battle. God gave you the victory. You were supposed to have destroyed them, but you didn't do it. You didn't do what God said to do. And if you go fight him again, you're going to lose the battle. There were some false prophets who said he was going to win, but when he got a true man of God, he told him, his name was Micaiah, he said, you're going to lose the battle. And he instead, he just locked him up, said, you just get bread and water. After I win, I'll show you up. He threw the prophet in, threw the man of God aside, and says, I'm going to go fight him anyway. So we jump ahead to verse number 29. He's headed out to fight him again. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, went up to Ramoth-Gilead. The king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, I will enter the battle in disguise. So he puts the disguise on. Let's see what I got here. This is going to be my disguise. So he said, we're going to go and we're going to go fight this guy. But he might remember me from 3 years ago. So I'm going to wear a disguise so he won't know who I am, is what he does. I'm going to enter the battle in disguise. But you wear your royal robes. So the king of Israel disguised himself. King of Israel disguised himself and went into battle. Now the king of Aram had ordered his 32 chariot commanders, do not fight with anyone, small or great, except the king of Israel. When the chariot commanders saw Jehoshaphat, they thought, surely this is the king of Israel. So they turned to attack him. But when Jehoshaphat cried out, the chariot commanders saw he was not the king of Israel, and they stopped pursuing him. But someone drew his bow at random and hit the king of Israel between the sections of his armor. The king told his chariot driver, so the disguise didn't work, wheel around and get me out of the fighting. The king told his chariot driver, wheel me around, get me out of the fighting, I've been wounded. All day long the battle raged, and the king was propped up in his chariot facing the Arameans. The blood from his wound ran onto the floor of the chariot, and that evening he died. That's the story. That's the account when he loses, when he goes back out. Let me give you some things really quick. The first one is this. God's plan for your life is victory. That is the plan of God for your life. God's plan for your life is victory. From the very beginning, it had been God's plan for Ahab that he would be victorious. It was not God's plan that he was going to die wearing a disguise, wounded because he got hit by a random arrow in a chariot. What God wanted was to give him complete victory. If he had followed him, if he had done what God had called him to do, that is always God's plan for his children. Jesus did not leave heaven and come to earth and resist all temptation and live a life without sin and humble himself and go to the cross of Calvary and die that agonizing death and be crucified there and was laid in a tomb for 3 days and then resurrect so that we could live a beat up, mediocre life where we just show up at church, but we're not really victorious in any way in our lives. That is not what he did. That was not the plan. God's plan was victory. It's always been God's plan. Look at a few passages here with me. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, come on, let me hear you say it. Who can be against us? Amen? If God is for us, who can be against us? For everyone born of God, how many people?
Everyone.
That means if you're born of God, we're talking about you. Everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith, praise God. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Tell your neighbor to be strong. Come on. God's plan is victory. It's always been his plan. Calvary is sufficient. The Holy Spirit is enough. You have what it takes. 2 Peter 1:3 says that his divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life. You have what it takes to live for God. You say, man, I just need to do this. No. God gave you what you need to live for him. You have what it takes. God's plan for your life is for you to walk in victory. You know what God's plan is for your family? Household salvation. The Bible says that if we would believe in him, that we would be saved and our household. That's what Paul said to the Philippian jailer. I believe that over your family and my family as well. God's plan is not that you squeak into heaven and all your family goes to hell. The plan of God for your family is that your family will come to faith in Christ and go to heaven with you. That's the plan of God. Amen? I want you to Believe God for your family. God's plan for your life is provision. My God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. God's plan for you is healing. Amen? He is the God who heals all of our diseases. God's plan for you is peace, right? He gives us a peace that surpasses all understanding. The plan of God is always victory. That's His plan. God's plan is that you're more than a conqueror. God's plan is that you're the head and not the tail. God's plan is growth and fruitfulness in your life. God's plan is victory. Come on. That's what God wants for us. The plan of God is that you live with Him. You live as an overcomer. But here's what we can't do and live that way. You can't allow the enemy to call the shots. You can't let the enemy call the shots. I used to have this dog named Mullet. He was a Scottish Terrier. He loved us, but he wasn't just a terrier. He was a terror. This dog was just like hated everybody. Now, they say that dogs reflect the owner's personality, so he was like my wife. No. that's not true. But the dog we have now loves everybody. This dog just loves. We have a dog now. He just loves everything. And the dog we had before was like on a mission to conquer the world. So this dog, not only was Mullet, he was a little short, stocky Scottish Terrier. Not only did everybody else have to be so careful around him, he also was on a mission to escape. He just always wanted, maybe if you're a pet owner, you have this. But if this was the door to my house and Mullet was right here, when I open the door, I got to keep my foot out or something because Mullet is always on a mission to escape. I mean, if he can get through that hole, he is gone. He would run like a bullet train. He would take off. Mullet, I was always like, do you have a plan? Where are you going? We love you. We feed you. We give you shelter. Why do you want to leave us so bad? gone. Mullet's gone. So one day I'm out walking Mullet, and I have one of these retractable leashes. All right, so it's one that goes in and out of this plastic handle. And he's probably about as far away from me as maybe here to the music stand, because I can't get too close to him anyway, because he just always does his own thing. And when he's walking along, so I'm walking along, and out of nowhere, pop, zip, it broke. And the leash just whoop, zipped right back up into the handle, the retractable thing. And now I'm standing here like this, and there is nothing between me and my dog. It's just air. And he's standing there, he's over there sniffing, and I'm already like, oh no. Because I know if I start to walk toward him, and he realizes that he's loose, what's going to happen? He's gone. Freedom! He's gone. So I'm standing there for a moment, I'm trying to say, what am I going to do? So then I just start walking, and I was like, all right, Mullet, come on. Come on, Mullet. If you had come down the road and seen me, you would have seen a man with a handle in his hand with nothing hooked to it and a dog completely loose. And I'm keeping my hand out like this the whole time. Come on, come on. And when Mullet stopped, I stopped. I would just stand there. He'd be sniffing around. I'm just standing there. And then I try to take a couple steps. Okay, come on. And he would start walking with me. I kid you not, I was about a quarter of a mile away from my house. So I had a long walk. And I walked that dog all the way home with nothing hooked to him until I got to the door of my home and opened it. And he went in and he was free the whole time. Do you know that's what the devil wants to do to you? I'm telling the truth. That's what the devil wants to do to me and you. The Bible says that whom the Son hath set free is free indeed. Which means I'm no longer bound by chains that bound me before. Nothing that held me before holds me anymore. And here goes the devil. The Son of Man has set me free. And he's out there. And the devil's out there walking along beside us. Come on. Come on, I got you. Come on over here. Stay. I need you to keep worrying and living in fear and worry and anxiety. Come on. And we walking along. Come on. Come on. I got you. Come on over here. Back to these old sins. The same thing you've done. Come on. I got you. Come on. Come on over. Oh, no. Remember what so-and-so did to you? Come on over here. Let's stay bitter. Let's stay hurt. Come, I got you. I got you. Come on. You stay with me. You stay with me. But he doesn't really have you. He doesn't really have me. We're not bound any longer. And he's just walking along. Come on. Come on, you got to go where I go. You have to do what I say to do. He's a liar. He's the father of all lies. His plan is to steal, kill, and destroy. That is what he wants to do. And the Bible declares, however, that liberty is ours, praise God. The Bible tells us this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun, praise God. We are new in him. We cannot allow the enemy to call the shots. Amen? We can't do it. So Ben-Hadad comes up in the chariot. We're going to do this, this, and this. If you're Ahab, you'd be like, you're going to do whatever I tell you to do. That's what we're going to do. You don't get up in my chariot and tell me what we're going to do. You lost the battle. The devil is a defeated foe. Jesus defeated him. He has crushed the serpent's head. The cross is sufficient. Liberty is ours. Amen? We walk in that. Not in bondage any longer. We walk in the freedom and liberty that is his. We cannot allow him to call the shots. Let me keep moving here with this and then pull these things together. Third point today. Living disguised never works. Living disguised never works. I'm at Yankee Stadium one time and we're walking to go into the game, and a big guy walks by me, and he's got a ball cap on and sunglasses, and he's just in regular clothes. And right as he passed me, I realized who it was. It was Rex Ryan, who used to be the head coach of the New York Jets. But at the time, he was still the head coach of the New York Jets. And this was when they were good. They had just like gone to the AFC Championship game that year or whatever. They didn't get the Super Bowl. They were game shy. And as I walk by him, I kind of peg him. He's a big guy. And I turn around like this, and I'm stepping backwards, and I'm thinking, I think that was him. And I take just a few steps, and I went, Coach! And when I said that, I think that was how I got it, but just by yelling, Coach. Coach! He turned around and looked back when I said that. And I was like, great season. He goes, and kept walking. He was just trying to blend into the crowd at the baseball game. He doesn't want everybody to know who he is. What's going to happen? They're all going to come over and want to autograph. He's just trying to be there with somebody at the game, if you will. But he's just a coach at a baseball game. That's a whole different thing, if you will, at a ball game. Ahab is a king. Ahab is a king. You know how a king should go into battle? In front of everybody. Blazing out in a chariot with his sword drawn. Come on! That's how a king goes into battle. You picture King David. King David is not like, let me put some fake glasses on so nobody knows it's me, and you guys go on up there and see how it goes. No, you don't disguise. No, a king, he's the king. All right, I'll wear a disguise. You go out like this. It doesn't make any sense as a response in the story altogether. He's living in fear. He's choosing to live bound is what he is doing along the way. But he's the king. And living disguise never works in anyone's life. It didn't in his in that battle, and it won't in ours as well. We have to know who we are. Listen, when you're the king, you don't have to live disguised. And in our case, when you're the child of the king, when you're the daughter of God, when you're the son of God, when you know who you are, you don't have to live disguised or in fear. Somebody comes to me, they say, did you hear that so-and-so said such and such and such and such about you? I'm like, why would I care what they say about me? I know who I am. Come on. I know who I am. I know I'm a child of God. I know I'm a child of the king. That's who I am. What difference does it make to me what somebody else says or what somebody else? I know who I am. You are a chosen generation. That's who you are, is you're chosen. A royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own special people, once in darkness, now called into his marvelous light. You don't have to live disguised when you know who you are. You know who you are. Ahab should have been like, I don't care what he says. I know who I am. I'm a man of God. God is for me. If God is for me, who could be against me? That's how he needed to go out, not to live in hiding and like that. And the problem with living disguised in our day is when you live disguised, when you live, if you will, trying to cover up, you're just miserable everywhere. You're miserable everywhere when you live like that. If you're one person at church in front of some people and you're another person somewhere else, you are just miserable all the time. because when you come to church, you feel guilty. And then when you're out in the world, you can't even have fun sinning and doing bad things because you feel bad about doing that too. You just feel bad all the time. Both ways you feel bad because you know it's all wrong altogether. So nothing's enjoyable about it. It's like, that's why Jesus said, I wish you were hot or cold. Why are you floundering in the middle? You're miserable everywhere. None of it works. No, we're the child of God. We're the child of God. Amen? David fell into sin. And between the story where I read, Ahab also fell into sin as well, where he did somebody really wrong. He really drifted from God altogether in this account. But you know, King David, he also fell into sin along the way in his life. But when he did, he repented. He got things right. He prayed, you know, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. He didn't try to live two-faced afterwards. It was, no, I got to get things right. I got to live for God. I know who I am. I'm the king. I'm going to walk in him. Living disguised isn't walking in faith and victory. God wants us to live as overcomers. And let me give you a last thought today and let you get out of here real quick. And it says, and that is this, to ask you the question, who needs to be kicked out of your chariot? Who needs to be kicked out of your chariot? Who pulls you down? Who pulls you away from God? What is it that takes you back to the world? What is it that is there that comes in with lies to lead you astray along the way? Because I will tell you that even, you know, Ahab says to Ben-Hadad when he gets in, what does he say? My brother. My brother. You know, sometimes even your brother or sister in Christ can take you down a wrong road. Can take you in a place you don't need to be going. And there's sometimes along the way where something or even someone needs to be kicked out of my chariot. There's sometimes along the way in my life where I've had some people that maybe I cared about than me, where I've had to say, you know what? At least in this season, I can't ride with you. I can't ride with you. You can't be in my chariot right now because you take me to a place where I'm not going. You lead me in a direction where I don't want to be. So I can't ride in this chariot with you. You have to go. I've got to get you out of here along the way. And that happens with all of us. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good character. If there's bad company around, it's time to give it the boot. And whatever it is, it's time to give it the boot. It is, you know, when the devil comes around and whispers in your ear and says, oh, you know, things aren't going to work out, and tries to bring worry and anxiety back into your life, tries to make you live bound. That's when it's time to if you will, to kick him out and say, you know what? I got no place for you in my chariot. And kick him out of there. And say, because the Bible says that God has given me his peace. And it's not like the world's peace. And it can't be taken away. So you can't have there. And the devil comes in and he wants to tempt you with whatever other to go back to some bondage of sin. That's when it's time to kick him out of the chariot. No, you're a liar and you're the father of all lies. And you can't ride with me. Oh, to take you to a place of bitterness, a bondage, or whatever. Kick him out. Kick him out in your life. There's no place for him there. There's this boat behind me. VBS, man, I saw downstairs this morning. VBS is going to be so... I should have had, Katie, I should have had you hide in here and jump out when I said this, but let me close with this. This is a different story than where I preach from today. Let me pull this together with this. Jonah, you know the prophet Jonah. Jonah fled from God. God called him to go to Nineveh. He fled from God. Ran away. Ends up on a boat. I'm going to abbreviate the story, of course. A big storm comes. The guys on the boat, they're like, man, what's going on? They cast lots. It falls to Jonah. They look at him. Hey, is it you? Are we in this situation because of you? What's he say? Yeah, it's me. So what do they say? Let's ride this out together? No, what do they say? Sorry, friend. You can't be in the boat. Because we ain't all going down with you. You can't be in the boat. So they throw him out. This is your problem, not mine. They throw him out. In life as well, whatever it is, whatever the enemy wants to throw my way, and sometimes what the enemy wants to throw my way might be someone, not just something. But whatever it is along the way, that I know, hey, you can't be in the chariot with me. Because God's plan for me is victory. And I am not letting the enemy call the shots in my life. Because I know who I am. Amen? I know who I am. I am a child of God. So there's no... Unless that's where you're going, then I have no place or no time for you or for these things in my life. Because we want to live victorious in Him. Would you stand with me? Stand with me if you would. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. 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 We're going to pray. We're going to pray. As we do, as we search our own hearts, hallelujah, knowing that you're a child of the King, knowing that you're a son of God, the daughter of God, knowing that that's who you are, search your heart right now for a moment. Just search your heart and be honest, man, am I walking in victory? Am I living in victory? Am I living victorious? Am I choosing to just live disguised? Am I letting someone in the chariot or something in the chariot that ought not even be in it, when the plan of God for me is to live as a child of the King, as a victorious overcomer in Him? And maybe there's some decisions that need to be made then of, you know what? This has to go. This has to go. Hallelujah. Search your heart. Search your heart. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we look to you today in the strong name of Jesus Christ. We thank you for your word. Ahab really was really up and down. He was kind of a real roller coaster in this life. And I know that can happen at times to all of us. But I pray that where we are right now, Lord God, that we would kick out what ought not be there, and that we would live as who we truly are in you. Live honestly before you, Lord God. Upright before you, Lord God. In your grace, in your mercy. Hallelujah. Victorious in you. May that be where we are and who we are, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. In the strong name of Jesus Christ, we pray this. Hallelujah. Freedom is yours. Liberty is yours. Amen. Peace is yours. Joy is yours. Hope is yours. That's who you are. That's where you are as a child of God. Let's dwell in that place. And whenever anything else tries to get in your chariot, fear, worry, sin, anxiety, whatever will pull you away, no. There's no place for you here. Amen? Amen? Come on, give God praise. Give God praise. And Father, as a closing prayer, I pray victory over your church. I pray victory over our lives. I pray, Lord God, that we will dwell near to you, Lord God. And Lord God, we know disguises don't stop the enemy, but we know the shield of faith sure does. So I pray, Lord God, that we will be strong in you and in the power of your might, Lord God, and live as overcomers this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Let's have a triumphant week in Him. If you're available and you're not already signed up, I hope you'll come back and help us out this evening. It's going to be a great week at our VBS as well. God bless you. Amen.